It's August 22nd, 2012. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. This is the InfoWars Nightly News, and this is what we have going on the show tonight.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, TSA appears at a Paul Ryan event, regardless of the fact it has nothing to do with transportation. Plus, California prepares to hand out driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Then, Rob Dew speaks with Without a Face musician Henry Dillard about his controversial music video, the TSA song. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Top story headline. The MF Global Magical Mystery Tour. This by James Hall of InfoWars.com. The lack of definitive disclosure in the MF Global investigation is hampered at every turn. The frustration shows as Judicial Watch sues SEC, CFTC for Corzine MF Global documents. Now, this article is full of acronyms, so I'm going to go ahead and just explain a few to you. Freedom of Information Act, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Securities and Exchange Commission. Let's continue. Judicial Watch said the CFTC acknowledged receiving the group's FOIA on April 25th of this year, but failed to provide a final reply by the statutory deadline of May 23rd, 2012. Similarly, the SEC told Judicial Watch it received the FOIA on April 25th, but it did not provide a final response by the mandatory deadline date. Continuing, Investor Daily offers an even more disgusting prospect in Corzine's next actor, MF Global, a hedge fund. Amazingly, Corzine's reputation may be irrevocably tarnished, but the latest report suggests the ensuing criminal investigation is unlikely to lead to any charges against him. How you like them apples, Gerald Celente? He gets away once again. The article does go on to say that Corzine may be interviewed by federal investigators next month sometime. Maybe. Next story. California poised to grant driver's licenses to young illegal immigrants. This story out of the Sacramento Bee. President Barack Obama's Deferred Action Childhood Arrival gives a select group of undocumented immigrants the right to live and work in the United States for 2 years without fear of deportation. Continuing. Deferred action applies to the undocumented immigrants between the ages of 15 and 31 who were brought to America before the age of 16 and have no criminal record. Participants must also be either high school students or graduates who have lived in the United States continuously for 5 or more years, which is to say we have a border patrol that tries to keep you from crossing the border. But if you sneak past them, live here for 5 years, Barack could give you free tuition and driver's licenses and work visas and all that. And nothing against illegal immigrants, but why do we have a border patrol if we're going to award these people if they sneak past? Just a thought. Next story. Now, people say we're all doom and gloom here at InfoWars.com on the nightly news, and we're not. We like to have fun every now and then, and every now and then we come across a story that it's just a fun story, and since we have a bunch of Star Wars nerds here at InfoWars.com, it wasn't too hard to get this one past. Headline, Hoverbike, Star Wars technology brought to life. California-based firm Aerofex created an aerial vehicle with two ducted rotors instead of wheels, which originates from a design abandoned in the 1960s because of stability and rollover problems. Continuing, the hoverbike does not require special training. It can become a useful tool in agriculture, border control, there's border control again, and search and rescue operations. Now, we do have a very cool clip of the hovercraft in action, and let's take a look at that. So we see the thing here. It looks like What's the Star Wars planet where Luke is flying around Tatooine? Okay, so yeah, this guy's flying around on Tatooine, having a good time. It's a hovercraft that gets off the ground, so do you need a TSA inspection before you can jump on that thing? Don't bend over too far, buddy. They may stick their hands down your pants. All right, we'll come back for one more. Forbes has released this list of the 100 most powerful women on the planet. If you guys got the graphics, we'll take a look here. So we see the number one people, the most powerful women in the world. Number two we have clocking in is Miss Hillary Clinton, a woman who can dodge bullets like Neo by her own accord. We'll slide down here to number four, Miss Melinda Gates, whose husband wants to forcibly vaccinate you via mosquitoes, ABC News. You can take a look at that yourself. Miss Michelle Obama clocking in at number seven. Her husband, as he claims, is from Kenya, her own words. Drop all the way down to number 10, Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook. And who's that at number 9? None other than Big Sis Janet Napolitano. I do believe we have a quote from Miss Janet Napolitano. Is that right, guys?
Early in this position, on Christmas Day 09, a man named Abdulmutallab tried to get an underwear bomb onto a passenger plane bound for Detroit. It was over Christmas break. We were all spread all over the place. The president was in Hawaii. I was in California with my family. And I gave an interview where I knew what I meant, but it didn't come out right.
Do you think that has there been any evidence of the Al-Qaeda ties that this suspect has been claiming?
I think it would be inappropriate to speculate. One thing I'd like to point out is that the system worked. Everybody played an important role here.
I'm Kurt Haskell. I'm an attorney in Michigan. And, I was on the flight with the underwear bomber on Christmas Day while we were waiting for our flight. So we sat by the gate on the floor playing cards. And when we were playing cards, I looked up, and what caught my eye was a pair of men walking up to the counter. And one looked like a wealthier Indian man to me, and the other looked like a poor African. I thought he was a teenager, but apparently he was a little older then. But he looked like a poor African teenager. He only had on jeans and a white T-shirt in the middle of winter. And, I thought they were an odd pair, so I just kind of watched them as we were playing cards. And they went to the counter together, and the Indian-looking man spoke, and what he said was, "This man needs to get on the flight," referring to the African teenager. But he doesn't have a passport. And then the girl working at the counter said, "Well, you have to have a passport to get on the flight." And then the Indian man said, "Well, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time." And that's an exact word-for-word quote. And she said something along the lines of, "Well, I'll have to refer you to a manager," or something like that. And I think she did something on her computer. And then she sent the two of them down a hallway, and they walked down the hallway together, which was in a restricted area. And they walked down there without an escort, and then, I quit watching at that point. Two important things at the end of January 2010. One was an ABC News article by Brian Ross, where he came out and said, this man in tan suit that was witnessed by passengers, he said passengers, but really it was just me, we're looking into this guy, and we think he actually helped the underwear bomber so that he wouldn't get cold feet. They didn't go so far as to admit what I had been saying, that that would have been impossible that he was Al-Qaeda, because he went to the desk and said, "We do this all the time." And then he had enough authority to walk down this hallway in a secure area and talk to the manager and get the man on the flight. So obviously Al-Qaeda couldn't do that, but they did admit the existence of the man in this article. So to me, that was a big story, because it was not only the first time they admitted his existence, but they've never admitted his existence after that. But at least we have it once detailed. Not only that, but it's by ABC News, so fairly credible media, at least, to some. But later in January 2010, we had hearings in Congress on this, where we had Undersecretary of State Patrick Kennedy come out, and if you watch the video of him, it's pretty telling that he's trying to cover up something and not tell the truth. He's squirming in his chair and seems really uncomfortable answering the questions. And this video is all over the internet if you want to Google it and look at it. But what he said is basically, we knew Abdulmutallab was a terrorist. We wanted to stop him from coming in the country and revoke his visa.
There have been numerous cases where our unilateral and uncoordinated revocation of a visa would have disrupted important investigations that were underway by one of our national security partners. They had the individual under investigation, and our revocation action would have disclosed U.S. government's interest in that individual and ended our colleagues' ability, such as the FBI, to pursue the case quietly and to identify terrorist plans and co-conspirators.
The system worked, as Mr. Politano said. I'm not exactly sure what system she's talking about. The Department of Homeland Security did not stop the underwear bomber. The people on the plane stopped the underwear bomber, and some well-dressed man happened to get him on the plane to begin with. And what's that? What are you guys saying? We have another clip of Ms. Napolitano, or don't leave the people in suspense.
My prior jobs were great experience for it because they, you know, taught me how to delegate, how important good staff is around you to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish, taught me how to compartmentalize, taught me how to handle stress in a healthy way, so that I was prepared in that sense. But
all right, and that brings us to our quote of the day. My prior jobs were a great experience. They taught me how to compartmentalize. That by Janet Napolitano, the Secretary of Homeland Security. And you see, you're talking about the compartmentalization. That's when, you know, let's see, with the ATF, you got a few well-meaning ATF people who are really trying to protect the country. So they go along with this ploy to ship guns into Mexico. One hand's not knowing what the other hand is doing. You know, there were rockets and grenades. I'm not sure what Bass Pro Shop you shop at, the one in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, does not sell explosives. So it wasn't just from pawn shops and mom and pop stores. So the people at the top of the ATF, your big wigs, your Eric Holders, your Janet Napolitano's, know what's going on, but your other ATF agents, you know, they're in their compartments, so they're not too sure. But anyway, that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to throw now to Paul Joseph Watson.
Thanks, Jakari. Continuing here now with the news on InfoWars Nightly News. Supporters fear Facebook Marine being disappeared. This is my story out of InfoWars.com. Supporters of Brendan Raub, the man kidnapped by police and committed to a mental institution for his political posts on Facebook, fear the former Marine is being disappeared by the authorities after he was forcibly transferred to a psychiatric facility more than 3 hours away from his family and team of legal experts. Raub, a former veteran of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, was involuntarily detained for psychiatric questioning last week by authorities in Virginia's Chesterfield County for leaving anti-establishment messages on Facebook, God forbid, and questioning the official version of 9/11. He also referred to corruption within the US government. The FBI claims Raub's posts were terrorist in nature. That's the same FBI, as even the New York Times admits, is behind all the domestic terror plots. But according to them, leaving messages on Facebook is terrorism. And of course, Raub is being held against his will for a period of at least 30 days. He hasn't been charged with any crime. He's being committed to a mental institution. And basically, you all know the story by now. He was basically kidnapped from his home last week after these Facebook posts that the FBI claims are terrorist in nature. And, you know, were his comments incendiary? Well, some of them, yeah, without a doubt. But, I mean, I've seen much worse on an almost daily basis. I see posts and comments on Facebook that are direct threats to Obama every single day. But this guy's obviously being targeted for a reason. He's a veteran. We know that the DHS is engaged in this smear campaign against returning veterans. They're trying to demonize them all, characterize them all as domestic extremists and terrorists. And he's being caught in this dragnet. So he's been moved to a psychiatric facility 3 hours away from his family and legal team. Opposite end of the county where this is supposed to be taking place. And the justice in the case dismissed efforts to stop this. There were lawyers from the Rutherford Institute that tried to stop him being transferred. The justice dismissed it. He's gone. People having trouble getting in contact with him now, which is the latest I read on Facebook. But we were actually contacted by a supporter of Raub who spoke with his brother and shared the following concern, which is in this article. Quote, it would seem that in the government's infinite wisdom, especially in a time of obscenely massive deficits, that they are going to send him to a Veterans Administration medical center. That doesn't sound too bad now, does it? How about this then? The hospital that they are sending him to is not the one 8 miles away from his home in Richmond, but it's instead on the other side of the Commonwealth of Virginia in Roanoke. One question, why? This makes absolutely no sense when you consider that since he was arrested or committed in Chesterfield, that this is the court of record and the court that is supposed to hear his case every motion and hearing. Why are they trying to take him so far away from his home? It's almost like they're trying to make him disappear. Oh no, not our benevolent nanny state government, never. So the fear now amongst his supporters is that people having trouble getting contact with him, his legal team, his family are 3 hours away, and basically now they're saying he's not even in that facility. So God knows where they've taken him. But again, the whole story is about this lurch towards the Sovietization of America, because as we know, historically, of course, under the Soviet system of Tsai Kushkas, these political dissidents were labeled mentally ill, they were kidnapped, they were incarcerated in psychiatric prisons, and the primary purpose of why that was done, of course, was one, to isolate dissidents from the other, you know, political activists, but also to denigrate their ideas. It was to communicate with the rest of the population that criticism of the state will not be tolerated, and that it's a mental illness to even suggest that the official story behind everything isn't the case. And this is precisely what's happening to Brendan Rau. But if the reaction I've seen just over the past few days is anything to go by, then the outpouring of support is going to make this blow up in the government's face, just like the arrest of the Huttari militia members, which of course was hailed at the time as a huge coup in the fight against domestic extremism. A few months later, of course, the feds had to skulk off with their tails between their legs because they were all acquitted. They'd committed no crime. There were a few minor firearms offences, but the whole plot to kill police officers and start a domestic revolution, violent revolution, completely collapsed, government egg on its face, and they just keep walking into these same situations again and again. He hasn't committed an act of violence. He hasn't been charged with any crime. You know, are there lone nutcases out there who might commit violence? Well, undoubtedly. But who's been provocateuring, nurturing every major domestic terror plot in the United States over the last 10 years, as even the New York Times now admits? Well, it's the FBI. So, you know, when the FBI tells us to be all concerned and fearful about some Facebook posts in the context of terrorism, while they're creating and overseeing all the major terror plots in America, you know, I just don't want to hear it. It's ridiculous. So more updates on the Brendan Raub story, if we get them. Now, he seems to have been disappeared. More updates as they come in. Moving on, man kicked off flight over anti-TSA shirt. This is my article on prisonplanet.com, also linked on the Drudge Report today. A man and his wife were treated as potential terrorists and kicked off a Delta Airlines flight over a satirical T-shirt because it made passengers and employees feel very uncomfortable. Writing on his blog, R.G. Guha describes how he was flying out of Buffalo Niagara Airport after attending his wife's grandfather's funeral. Having passed through security without a problem, Guha was approached by a Delta agent who informed him that his attire was making passengers nervous. And basically, he's wearing a T-shirt with a TSA logo. You can see it in the article, which satirizes the, you know, paranoid and overbearing approach to security that has come to categorize that federal agency. And you can go and read the entire account at Infowars.com. But the bottom line to come out of this is, you know, questioning authority is now treated not only as a suspicious activity, but as an actual indication that you're a terrorist. He passes through security, he has his bag searched over and over again, he even agrees to remove the T-shirt, but still, that's not good enough. Because he dared to question the authorities, and that means he must be punished. He's a thought criminal, he must pay for that, as an example to everybody else. And so, Delta Airlines supervisors, transit police and TSA, basically subjected this guy to interrogation, you know, drug dogs, the whole nine yards. And then they ask him, where does the T-shirt come from? And he tells them, well, it was a gift from my brother. Where does he live? Michigan. And this illustrates how dumb these airport security people are. They literally must hire them based on their low IQ, because they didn't even recognize the word Michigan. This is seriously out of the story. Here's the quote. Where'd he move from? Michigan, I respond. Michigan? What's that? She says. This is the transit police. At this point, the main TSA agent who questioned me earlier interjected. The TSA were actually the intelligent ones in this exchange. He said Michigan. Unable to withhold my snark, I responded with an eye-rolling sneer. You've never heard of Michigan? This response did not please her partner, a transit cop named Mark. Mark grabbed his walkie-talkie and alerted his supervisor and proceeded to request that he be granted permission to question me further in a private room. His justification? Quote, first he hesitated, then he gave a stupid answer. Michigan, my friends, is a stupid answer. So because these cops were so dumb, they couldn't comprehend what the word Michigan meant. That itself was taken as another sign that this guy was acting suspiciously and that he couldn't get on the plane. And then they cited the fact that his wife, who was with him, did not take his last name when they got married. So apparently, according to Delta Airlines and the transit police there in this airport, Buffalo Niagara Airport, if you're married and your wife doesn't take your surname, that's also a sign of potential terrorism right there. And you will be treated as a terrorist for that. And then we actually come to discover that the initial reason, the primary reason for him being identified as a threat was, you know, you guessed it, he opted out of the radiation-firing naked body scanners. And we've, of course, covered stories before where people who are actually knowledgeable about the you know, the massive health risk posed by the scanners are then subjected to extra special harassment for their thought crime. And it was actually, in this case, the pilot who eventually kicked him off of the flight. They had to get another flight the next morning because he said his presence, this guy's presence for wearing an anti-TSA t-shirt would have upset the other passengers. So the fact that he had a brain and was able to use it to construct his own thoughts, that was seen as a massive security risk. It was a threat. It was a threat to the other, you know, castrated sheeple who were sitting there trembling on the plane, nervous because some guy's got a political t-shirt on. I mean, give me a break. So remember, being able to think is now a security threat. Having a political opinion is a security threat. Having a wife who doesn't take your last name is a security threat. Opting out of a body scanner is a security threat. And your right to mobility will be eviscerated, as it was in this case. He missed the flight. If you dare to act like anything other than a lobotomized zombie, just make sure you're wearing the right t-shirt, because it could make people very nervous. TSA again here. Surprise, surprise, another TSA story. TSA rifles through bags, conducts pat-downs at Paul Ryan event. For some time we've been warning, this is Steve Watts at Infowars.com. For some time we've been warning that TSA is systematically moving beyond the nation's airports and conducting operations on the streets of America. The latest example of this kind occurred at an event organized by Mitt Romney's GOP running mate Paul Ryan this past weekend in the Villages, Florida. The Shark Tank blog reports that the TSA officers showed up alongside Secret Service and local Sumter County Sheriff's Office and proceeded to do what they do like nobody else does. So they had six TSA agents out there at this Paul Ryan political event conducting grope downs and bag searches. I think the Department of Homeland Security needs to be reminded of what the TSA actually stands for, what those three letters stand for. Transportation Security Administration. The key word there being transportation. What the hell has a Paul Ryan political event got to do with transportation? You know, what has TSA workers conducting grope downs at prom nights got to do with transportation? Nothing. But for all those people who, you know, just for years lazily sat back and said, well, I don't fly, so I don't need to worry about it. Well, look where that attitude's got us now. You know, TSA agents riding on buses in Houston interrogating people as to their destinations, train stations, ferry ports, highways, bus depots. You know, last month they even sent TSA agents, because they were doing such a great job, they sent them over to London for the Olympics. And it's an occupying army of goons. It's a literal occupation force throughout America now. In Nazi Germany, these kind of people wore brown shirts, but, you know, for the TSA, the color of tyranny is blue. So the battle against the TSA goes on. Of course, we had this poll a few weeks ago. The majority of Americans are happy with it. They're happy with this gaggle of perverts prone to criminal behavior groping their children. So there's a lot of morons, there's a lot of zombies that need to be kicked out of their slumber. And until they are, we're just going to see more and more stories like this as the TSA expands its presence, its occupying presence across the United States. Moving on to global news now. Syrian rebels try to use prisoner for suicide bombing. BBC News. The New York Times has released a video which shows three Syrian army rebels trying to use a prisoner as an unwitting suicide bomber, as the BBC's Gordon Kadera reports. Let's go to the clip.
A bomb being prepared on the back of a truck. The target, a nearby Syrian government checkpoint. The group call themselves the Lions of Tabweed and say they'll accept nothing less than the end of the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. At their base, the group have a prisoner. They say he's a member of the Shabiha militia, and he's told that he'll be released as part of a prisoner exchange. Blindfolded, he's driven towards the city. He's told all he'll have to do is drive the truck towards a government checkpoint. What he doesn't know is the truck is the one that's been rigged with a 300-kilo bomb. The rebel fighters intend to detonate it remotely when he approaches the checkpoint. He's being tricked into being an unwitting suicide bomber.
So there you have it. Barack Obama, with his recent announcement, is using your taxpayer dollars to fund Syrian rebels who use prisoners as unwitting suicide bombers. These are the good guys now. These are who we're supporting. Rah, 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 it's the war on terror. We're supporting and funding the actual terrorists, but let's not talk about that. And what's interesting is this story is actually being deleted from the BBC News website. It's down the memory hole, gone. It's still up on their YouTube channel. How long it stays there is anyone's guess, but it seems somebody's trying to pull the plug on it. And I love how the BBC spins it in the clip. It's like, oh yeah, sure, he's covered in bruises, this prisoner they've captured. He's covered in bruises from torture, but that was from his previous captors. You know, look, they're friendly. The rebels are friendly. They're giving him a cigarette. Let's not cast judgment on the fact that they're about to force the guy to blow himself into a million pieces. Look, they're giving him cigarettes. They're nice. They're friendly. And then the New York Times reporters who were there witnessing all this claim, they had no knowledge of what was going on. And you can believe them. You can trust them, New York Times. And then there's the behavior of these rebels. I mean, every time I see these rebels in these YouTube videos, they're just engaging in the most flagrant, embarrassing hypocrisy imaginable. You know, it shows them riling through the possessions of this guy whose apartment they've just commandeered, sneering at photos of his kids. And then they say, look at this guy living in luxury. What an infidel. And then the next clip is them frolicking around in his damn swimming pool. I mean, just complete hypocritical morons. And so not only is, you know, Al CIA to helping them carry out terror attacks in Syria, but now they're forcing unwitting prisoners to become suicide bombers on their behalf. These are the good guys, remember? Your taxpayer dollars going to fund all this. So they're fear-mongering about Iran, as we're going to see in a minute. Iran's going to carry out terror as a reprisal against America and the West trying to overthrow Assad. But these guys, with your taxpayer dollar funds, they're making prisoners carry out suicide bombing attacks. And I guess it's fortunate that, you know, these rebels have proven themselves to be all but actually useless and pathetic in fighting the actual war. And that's why the CFR now, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, is lavishing praise on Al-Qaeda, saying, you know, they bring leadership to the rebels. They bring discipline to the rebels. And by the looks of it, they need it because they're nothing short of pathetic. They try and get a guy to kill himself in a suicide bombing, and then they can screw up the detonation. Doesn't work. And there's actually another video which I saw of a captured Syrian soldier who's being forced to make this video by Syrian rebels. They're going to make him kill himself by the looks of it. And he's already got the bomb there in front of him. He just blows himself up and takes them all out. But the bottom line is that Obama is now openly funding people, rebels, freedom fighters, democratic activists, they used to call them, who force prisoners to become suicide bombers. And you're paying through it. It's your tax money that's going towards it. Now they're talking about Stinger missiles being sent via the CIA to these rebels. you know, just democratic activists with Stinger missiles. And you'll also probably pay for the, you know, the convenient chemical weapon attack that gets blamed on Assad later down the line and then provides the pretext for the no-fly zone and the NATO troops. But just remember, you know, these are the good guys now. This terrorism's good because it's funded by our governments. Staying with global news now, the London Telegraph. Iran's supreme leader orders fresh terror attacks on West. Iran's supreme leader has ordered the country's Revolutionary Guards to intensify its campaign of terror attacks against the West and its allies in retaliation for supporting the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad in Syria. According to Western intelligence officials, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei gave the order to the elite Quds Force unit following a recent emergency meeting of Iran's National Security Council in Tehran, held to discuss a specially commissioned report into the implications for Iran of the Assad regime's overthrow. So in other words, the CIA needs to distract from the fact that it's arming al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria with Stinger missiles in an effort to overthrow Assad. So it's claiming, and this is a claim, this isn't a quote, it's just a claim from Western intelligence officials, that Iran is intensifying its campaign of terror in the West. Meanwhile, al-Qaeda is busy in Syria carrying out dozens of terror attacks, you know, killed 200 people so far, injured thousands. And the Pentagon's own internal memos that were leaked as part of the WikiLeaks Stratfor data dump exposed the fact that they were planning terror attacks in Syria. So they're pointing the finger all day long at Iran when their own internal memo is saying that that's their tactic. The Pentagon is to direct terror attacks inside Syria. And the quote from the memo, this is going back to March. We had the article on this, but people forget this. Quote, this is what the Pentagon wants to do in Syria a year ago. Now look what they've done to it. Quote, commit guerrilla attacks, assassination campaigns, try to break the back of the Alawite forces, elicit collapse from within. So commit guerrilla attacks, assassination campaigns, that's terrorism. That's what the Pentagon said it was going to do a year ago. So they're pointing the finger at Iran for preparing terror attacks against the West in a retaliation against Western efforts to overthrow Assad. While the CIA and al-Qaeda are in Syria right now, helping the rebels carry out terror attacks in an effort to overthrow Assad. It's ridiculous. They're blaming Iran for doing it, and they're doing it already. And Iran hasn't even been behind any terror attacks in the West. And these newspapers like the Telegraph, you know, they're really enthusiastic when it comes to printing scary headlines based on anonymous made-up BS about Iran or what Iran plans to do. But they seem a little less eager to report on the admitted al-Qaeda terrorists that were airlifted into Syria by NATO, which are already, as we've documented, as RAND Corporation, the CFR, the Guardian newspaper, and everybody else admits, are already carrying out terror attacks inside Syria. So again, the height of hypocrisy in pointing the finger at Iran for behavior that's already happening under the auspices of the Syrian rebels and that was planned by the Pentagon over a year ago in their own memos where they said they would carry out terror attacks. Very rich indeed. Moving on, Monsanto shells out $4.2 million to sabotage California GMO labeling initiative. This is Ethan A. Huff out of Natural News. California has the unique opportunity to be the first state in the union to require that genetically modified organisms, GMOs, be properly identified and labeled on most food items. The Monsanto company, one of the biggest purveyors of GMOs and several other factory food and agriculture corporations, are trying to sabotage this effort by contributing millions of dollars to defeat a ballot proposition that would require mandatory GMO labeling. If passed, Proposition 37, known as the California Right to Know Genetically Engineered Food Act, will require that all foods made with or containing GMOs, including both raw and processed foods, be labeled as such when sold at the retail level. Products made with or containing GMOs will also be prohibited from being marketed and sold as natural, a highly deceptive practice that has become quite common today. So Prop 37 is basically the straw that's going to break the camel's back on this GMO stranglehold. Once California goes, if they pass this, so goes the rest of the nation. And remember, you know, every single country in the EU and even the likes of Russia and China are forced by law to label GMO food as exactly that, but not in America or Canada. Is it a surprise, therefore, that, you know, obesity levels are going through the roof in those countries? So as Monsanto is kicked out of European countries, they're desperately trying to cling on to this monopoly in the United States and Canada by funding to the tune of millions of dollars lobbyists to try and shoot down this Prop 37 initiative. And there's actually a link in the article which tells you who else is funding efforts to block Prop 37 as well as Monsanto. And, you know, it's the usual suspects. It's PepsiCo, Nestle, Kellogg Company, Hershey Company, Ocean Spray. Because they don't want Americans to know that the GMO trash that they put in the food and then don't tell anyone about is killing them. That's why they're prepared to spend a lot of money to ensure that Prop 37 is crushed, because it's a massive threat to their financial monopoly and their genetically modified food monopoly in America. So basically, you need to get behind Prop 37 in California, boycott these companies that are on the list who are funding lobbyists to oppose it, and just feel satisfied, basically, that this story really represents another example of how we're winning on the health front. And it's one of the major frontiers of our victory. So if we can get this through in California, this Prop 37, then it's going to be a massive victory against the likes of Monsanto and all these other corporations that try and stop it. In closing now, urge you again to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. Of course, you're probably watching this on YouTube, as a lot of people do, but it's broadcast live the previous night before it goes on YouTube, so you can watch it streaming live. Of course, live Alex Jones Show archives, video files, speeches, special reports. It's all there. It's been going, what, 8-9 years now at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it's the same price, $5.95 for a month. You can get the 15-day free trial, so you can try it all out with no commitment. And it helps support this network. It helps pay for everything. And basically, we need you to keep going. So it's PrisonPlanet.tv. Subscribe today. PlanetInfoWars.com is, of course, our brand-new social networking website where you can get together with like-minded people to arrange activist projects, work on special events. There's a dating section. And basically, just connect with people in your area. It's like a Facebook for truthers, but we don't spy on you at the same time. And it's PlanetInfoWars.com. Again, completely free to sign up. And, of course, very exciting today was the launch of InfoWars Magazine, which you can get a digital copy of for free at infowars.com/newsletter. If you just put your email in, you will be sent a digital copy of that magazine. And of course, we've sent it out for free across the whole of Austin, basically. It's a free magazine that people in Austin can pick up. But we also got an offer on the website, infowarsshop.com, which is 10 copies for $9.95. And this was so popular that they actually ran out of all the magazines within 24 hours, but they've got more on order. So if you go to InfoWarsShop.com, you can get a copy of InfoWars magazine. And, of course, it's another great activist tool. We're going back to the roots of the Gutenberg press. It's print 2.0. It can't be censored by the internet shutdown. So you can get your copy for free by signing up for the newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter, or get 10 copies for just $9.95 to give out to people at InfoWarsShop.com. Coming up after the break, Rob Dew is going to interview the creator of the TSA song, Henry Dillard, with his band Without a Face. And this is not only a satirical song, but it's actually really professionally done, a slant against the TSA. Be careful if you're playing it on your iPod while you're traveling through the airport, because they might treat you as a terrorist, as we saw earlier with the anti-TSA T-shirt. But after the break, Rob Dew interviews Henry Dillard, so stay tuned on InfoWars Nightly News.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. I'd like to thank Jakari Jackson for kicking off the show and Paul Watson for bringing up the news, finishing that off today. And now we're going to go to a quick video. This is it's called the TSA song, and it's from the band, which is basically a singer-songwriter, called Without a Face. And I saw this a couple weeks, well, about last week, I think somebody sent it to me, and it's already got 50,000 hits on YouTube. I encourage you to go out, you know, spread it around, because I think this video could wake a lot of people up as to what the TSA is doing. There's a lot of people out there who may not know what the TSA does. They may not even be aware that the TSA even exists, yet they fly every day, but their brain is so in a cloud, they may not even realize it as they're walking through the millimeter wave scanner that could be giving them cancer. So here we go. It's the TSA song from Without a Face, and we'll be right back with the creator, Henry Dillard.
Ever since you walked on through that naked body scanner, so I think that is my cue to take it to the side. Yes, I know you're a single mom, but shorty, you're suspicious, cause your body is the bomb. So now that I got you at my airport, I'm gonna show you just exactly what TSA stands for. Put your baby carriage down on the floor, I'm gonna make you scream, cause TSA means I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and do it real slow, from head to toe. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, it's part of my job, so it ain't my fault. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and I'ma bring my appetite and give you a bite. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, the nation ain't safe until you get raped. Real, I think that your grandpa boobs might have hidden nukes, and I'ma touch his junk and leave him feeling used. Old ladies and pretty baby boys, I'll take off their diapers to make sure I stay employed. So now that I got you at my airport, I'm gonna show you just exactly what TSA stands for. Now that I got you at my airport, time to get screened, maybe double team. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and do it real slow, from head to toe. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, it's part of my job, so it ain't my fault. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and I'ma bring my appetite and give you a bite. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault.
It's for national security.
Until you get raped.
Without a face, here we go. Uncle Sam's got a chance to stick his hands down in your pants. Be a brother putting grandmother into a trance. Getting pretty freaky like a fifth grade dance. What can I say? I'ma fill you up, fiend. One big mean molesting machine dream team. I'ma give y'all sexual assault. I'ma pull Johnny's little Jimmy out the ball. And if the mama asks why, it's because I said so. You up next to mama, do what I said. Ho starts at the airport, then we go to Walmart to get DNA before you get a shopping cart. Let's get twisted. Quite gifted with it. I really wanna whip it. Bondage lingerie with a little bit of role play. You a dumb sheep. I'm TSA.
I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and then your grandma, your daughter-in-law. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault. I know you like that, and so will your cat. I wanna give you twisted sexual assault, and I'ma bring my appetite and give you a bite.
So you just saw the video, the TSA song from the group, or I should say the singer-songwriter, Without a Face, and we have the writer and creator of the video with us right now, Henry Dillard. He is a recent graduate from DBU, which is Dallas Baptist University, focusing on communications. He was signed to Redbird Records, releasing Worst Debut Album Ever in 2009. The guy's got a sarcastic streak running through him, as you could tell from the video. And then the first album was Better in 2010. He parted ways with Redbird in 2011 and released the 5-song EP, which includes the TSA song, which you just saw just a second ago, or at least most of it. You can catch the rest of it at youtube.com/WAFTV. And Henry has been featured in MTV, Sports Illustrated, Rock for Life, Houston Chronicle, and Houston Press, among other publications. And he's here now. Henry, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed your video. Someone sent it to us, I think last week, and I said, we got to get this guy on and let him tell his story, because you really, I think sarcasm is one of the keys to helping defeat the New World Order, because it helps wake up a lot of people who might not be receptive to the information. So tell us about the TSA song.
I would agree with your statement. All right. Well, long story short, I recorded the TSA song late July, and we had decided, me and the producer, Mike Thompson, we thought, oh, this really needs a professional music video. And so I met with Eric Webb, the director, and we decided, let's raise money for this professional music video through Kickstarter. And so our goal was $5,000, and we raised a little over $6,300. We went a little over budget, too. So we ended up spending close to $7,000 on this music video, and it is thanks to a lot of the people who backed it. There was about 96 backers total, if I remember correctly, for this video.
And let me ask you this. With the TSA, you know, we've been railing against them for a long time. We really ramped it up about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when we had one of our own employees here actually had the TSA strip search her children as she was flying to the airport. So tell us about some of your TSA horror stories, if you have any, or what have you heard about the TSA?
Well, I suppose that I'm the type of person where if someone is getting picked on, I want to speak up for that person. I want to defend them. And so the idea of Americans just having their genitalia felt up in the name of national security just seems really illogical. And if you think about it, if someone is a terrorist and they want to take lots of lives, and if the threat of terrorism is really imminent, then we should do a better job of protecting our national borders. But no, for some reason we need TSA at the airports, when really if terrorism was that big of a threat, I would imagine terrorists would be attacking sporting events, which of course, I think that's the ultimate goal for TSA, is to eventually, you know, have security checkpoints every 15 miles. They're already rolling them out to train stations, I think at a few Walmarts and stuff like that. So I think that this is an ensuing police state unless people wake up and try to do something about it.
I agree. And we actually covered a story today earlier with the TSA were at a Paul Ryan event, and they were there. I mean, nothing to do with transportation at all. And that's the first word in their name, Transportation Security Administration. And they're at a public campaign event. And searching people, going through their bags, just basically being there to cause a nuisance, to set the standard of, hey, we're going to have these guys everywhere. Anywhere we think we should put them, anywhere, you know, we can rifle through your belongings and touch you, we're going to do it. And I saw a couple pictures. There was only two men. You know, what were they doing? Were they feeling up the women as they were going? I mean, it's just crazy. Your comments on that?
It's just unacceptable. It's very un-American. It's ironic that in us complaining about how our civil liberties are being undermined, we are considered un-American. I was actually talking to someone who's running for Iowa Senate. His name is Will Johnson. He was talking to me about, you know, the Republican National Convention. He's going to be a delegate there. And he was telling me about all these stipulations and I don't know, rules basically, where, you know, you would have to endorse Romney, or if you wanted this specific app that told you about these shuttles that take the delegates back and forth around the national convention, you have to get this app. But in the terms and conditions for the app, they have a stipulation where they are supposed to, you are supposed to allow them to listen to what you are saying, and they're able to tap into whatever pictures you're taking or video you're taking. And Will Johnson was saying he suspects that basically they want to make sure that you're endorsing Romney, and if you're not, then they're going to do something about it, basically.
That's pretty big news. That's big news, yeah. that the Republican National Convention is now employing spy devices, our spy programs, to go through your telephone, which we already know the NSA is hooked up to, and they're recording everything we do anyway. But yeah, Now what they have is they're, I guess it's sort of cubed out into a little, their own little mini NSA is going to be spying on you, making sure you're going to vote for Fuhrer Romney, who's basically going to come in and just keep the same policies going that Barack Obama and George Bush and Clinton before them were doing. So I guess marching us on to global tyranny. Hey, let's move into your video. It's got a lot of great imagery. We've been showing it while we're doing our interview here. And, you know, you've got that, your millimeter wave scanner booth built and, the dancers and, you know, the bearded guy. I mean, this is, did you guys just sit and brainstorm all this, all the different events, you and the director, or how'd you come up with all these ideas?
We did brainstorm. It was me, the director, Eric Webb, and, a few of the key members of the crew who, were in charge of seeing the production through, you know, and we were just sitting there trying to think of ideas. We shot a whole ton of footage. I might be able to recut a few new edits. I'm thinking about doing a family-friendlier edit. I'm thinking about doing an edit that includes some neglected footage. Like, there was shots of me as a TSA agent going through people's stuff. There was some shots of actually the passenger is giving me a taste of my own medicine. Like in that music video, you can see me harassing a blind man and his seeing eye man. We actually had shot footage of the blind man beginning to fill me up to see, you know, who is this guy that's touching me, you know? And, so yeah, it was a long drawn out process and thinking of all of these different ideas and scenarios that would occur at the airport and then trying to sculpt it down into this cohesive, entertaining music video, which I think, thankfully, we accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, you've got over 50,000 hits right now. Hopefully, us showing your video now get more people to go there and spread it around their email list. Because really, I mean, I kind of look at your video as sort of like a gateway drug to people who've never heard of the TSA or watched any of this stuff. Now they're like, wow, what is this? Why is this guy making this crazy video acting like he's a sex fiend feeling people up? What is all this about? Well, if people don't travel or if they haven't been in that situation yet, they really don't know. But I mean, TSA is on record of going and ripping out people's colostomy bags, you know, feeling up old ladies, making them strip, dropping people's pants in front of everybody. I mean, really demeaning, horrible stuff, which you really illustrate in your video. And I think it's works like these that need to be seen, because that's how we're going to wake more people up, by just creating, you know, this type of sarcastic in your face art that really, you know, wakes up the masses. I mean, what are your comments on that?
I would completely agree with that. Basically, it's just like, I can remember running into someone a couple months ago and they had no idea what TSA was, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I was not trying to condescend to them whatsoever, so I held back a few of my thoughts, but I thought, man, I mean, if you don't know what TSA is, then you may have not heard about the Patriot Act or the National Defensive Authorization Act. You may be ignorant to a lot of things where it seems like they're gearing up for the clamps to come down. They've basically legalized lawlessness, and it's only a matter of time before they might start enforcing their lawlessness and start shooting off more people to these military detention centers. And then I know that, I think his name is pronounced Anwar al-Awlaki. I mean, he was assassinated. He was a U.S. citizen assassinated without due process. And it seems like nobody bats an eye to this kind of stuff. But, the logic behind assassinating him was, oh, he's a terrorist with possible future bad intentions, so we should kill him now. Well, I mean, if you follow that logic, anyone is capable of doing something bad. So why not just start arresting people if you suspect they might do something terrible in the future? You know?
Sure, sure. But in 2001, he wasn't scary enough to invite to the Pentagon for a dinner with a bunch of Joint Chiefs of Staff and a bunch of Army generals. That was okay because, you know, he was on our side at that point. But now he's a bad guy. All of a sudden he becomes number two in Al-Qaeda. And then we use that to basically, I think he was just a test case to see, hey, can we kill an American citizen? And they killed his son, too. They killed two American citizens with that drone attack.
Yeah.
Right. And can we do that? And will the American people even care? Will they even get up in arms? Will they do anything about it? And, you know, we railed about it, but we didn't hit that mass exodus of people basically going after, you know, the government at this point, because I think they, you know, they believe the hype. They believe that this guy is a terrorist when, you know, a lot of people don't know. He was having dinner at the Pentagon right after 9/11. So what does that say? One, for our national security, and two, what's it say for the people we're calling terrorists, you know?
Well, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, and in a way, ironically, it almost gives credence to the globalist cause, because you have so many more people. I mean, there's millions of people like us who are awake to what's going on, and it's important to not try to condescend to those who have not woken up yet, because a lot of people are just too busy. You know, they work all day, they come home, they don't want to hear about how things are going, especially if they're going worse, especially in the event they had a bad day or they hate their job, you know. I think that basically, if you want public outrage, if you really want millions of more people to join in on this liberty movement, is essentially what it is, you're going to have to get the president to sign an executive order that cancels the Super Bowl. And after he does that, a lot of people will be outraged, and maybe something good could come of it. You say, hey, well, you're mad about the Super Bowl. What about the fact that he thinks if he suspects you're a terrorist, he can just throw you in a military detention center?
Right, right. And feeling people up and having army all around the Super Bowl wasn't enough to wake people up. Like, that's not enough. It's just like they have to be hit over the head with a 2x4 to really get it. And it's disappointing. What woke you up? What got you on this path of thinking outside the box and going, you know what, I don't buy all this stuff that they're feeding us. I don't, just because they say we have to have TSA, I don't buy it. I mean, what got you into that frame of thinking?
Right. Well, not to kiss up to InfoWars, but it was the 08 election when I began to become politically conscious. I started researching President Obama, or he was running for president then, and I started researching Senator John McCain, and I started looking at a lot of their policies. And I was already familiar with Bush Jr.'s policies, and I thought, you know, these two guys, they actually converge on a lot of key issues, you know, with the war on terrorism and the war on drugs. I mean, those two quote-unquote wars essentially contribute to the national deficit significantly, I think. And it was then that I began to follow some rabbit trails, and I started reading about legislation that was passed and stuff like this, and then I started watching some videos that were on the internet, and eventually I got on to some InfoWars produced videos. There was one concerning 9/11, there was the Obama deception, and then I saw Aaron Russo's documentary. The title of his documentary escapes me, but it was about the IRS.
Freedom to Fascism,
yeah. There you go. And so it was then in 2008 that I began to see all these hints of, I guess you would call it an infantile state of tyranny, which if you look at it, they were doing baby steps since 1913 towards tyranny, but it was after 9/11 that things exponentially began to speed up, I think.
Right. I totally agree with that. And it's been going on long before 1913. That's just when they finally got their beachhead, essentially. They were able to invade and establish a foothold, and from there, they've just been spreading like a cancer, the globalist cause of making everybody work for them, and while they sit around and just soak up the sweat off our backs. Are you working on any new videos or new music that is politically conscious? What's in the future for you?
Yeah, it's surprising that I'm coming on to your show at this juncture, because I'm actually working on an album. I intend for it to be titled The American Scheme, and it has a lot to do with what has been going on and where I think things are going and how things are right now. I like to think of them more as humanitarian songs, but they would probably be interpreted as socio-political songs. You know, it has a lot to do with the eroding of our civil liberties. There's some anti-war stuff there. It would probably be taken as pretty dark, and it's definitely lyrically a lot more serious. So I'm very interested in seeing how that's received. But as far as video ideas, I do have a few video ideas. There's one that involves an animation where it looks more like a storybook. It's kind of like, that's my anti-war song. It's called The Earthlings. And what it has to do with really is I didn't want to be overt with an anti-war message, because I felt like that was too cliche. So really what happens is these two Earthlings visit some Martians up on Mars. And the Martians have never had a war before, and the Earthlings are asking them, you know, show us your military might, you know, what do you got? And and they're just dismayed that the Martians live in peace. And so that's kind of what that song is about. And then another song, I'll try to be real quick about it, is called Like a President. That's a song more about unrequited love, but what it does is it alludes to how the president is not really the one with the power. It goes, I feel as empty as a campaign promise, lurking around the corners of your rib cage, lonely as a man who's honest. You know, there ain't a lot of people like that these days. I feel so puppeted and pushed around, so irrelevant. You make me feel like a president. That's the chorus. And so the video idea I have for it right now is basically just I'm rocking out with a band, and the other band members are wearing presidential masks, and maybe we're doing some un-American things like burning the Constitution or the American flag. So those are the ideas I have for right now.
Oh, well, it sounds very interesting. And if people want to learn more, they can go to WAFmusic.com, which stands for withoutaface.com. We're here right now with the singer-songwriter, actually the brainchild of Without a Face, Henry Dillard, who basically, you know, with $7,000 produced a pretty cool looking video. And I think he's going to wake a lot of people up, and yeah. Hopefully people can get it out there. It's youtube.com/WAFTV. And it's known as the TSA song, and the chorus is I want to give you twisted sexual assault, which is what they do to us every day. Millions of people get pawed on, get groped down, have their personal belongings messed with, sometimes even stolen, and have their dignity taken away. And it's a shame that we have to do that in the so-called land of the free.
Yeah, it's not the land of the free anymore. It hasn't been for a while.
I totally agree. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you making the video. And, you know, you've got my email. Send me anything new that you make, especially with the political edge, and we'll see about getting it out there for you.
Excellent. Thank you again so much for having me on the show. I hope this adds some gasoline to the video.
Excellent. Excellent. So do we. All right. That was Henry Dillard of Without a Face. And we need more people making more art out there that has a political message to it. And it doesn't have to be serious. It could be sarcastic, because sarcasm, you know, we've done a lot of sarcasm here. You saw Alex dress up as Cobra Commander before. You've seen him interview himself as Don the John Corzine, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that's going to wake up those people who are on the periphery. Like, they know something's wrong, but they might not totally get the full picture until they see something like this, and it'll make them go investigate. It'll make people type in TSA abuses. And you never know. I mean, that's what leads people down the rabbit hole. And that could be the next, you know, you never know. You could wake up the next founder of a We Are Change type organization, you know, like what Alex did with Luke Radowski. So just think about that when you're out there. Spread this video around. Let's wake some more people up. Spread this video around as we come to the end of our show today. And I'd like to thank Jakari Jackson for kicking off the news. He's really fitting in good. Paul Joseph Watson for kind of filling in the middle there from England, and then I closed it out. So without further ado, it's the end of our show today. We'll be back tomorrow. Alex will be doing the news, and he'll be sitting here with Dan Bidondi. Bionic Dan will be here in studio. He'll be asking some questions about him. And Dan's got a lot of great videos on his YouTube site and that you can check out, and they'll talk about it tomorrow. Dan's always out there confronting the police and confronting tyranny, you know, armed with a camera and his constitution. So with that, I'm Rob Dew signing off. It's InfoWars Nightly News.